Welcome to Music Scene. I'm your host, Nanette Weiser, and with me today is a legendary artist that I have been following and a fan of for so long, Muriel Anderson, who will be performing at 7C Music on February 20th. Welcome, Muriel, to Radio St. Pete.
Thank you.
Tell us a little bit. This isn't the first time you have come into town. Tell us a little bit about what you've been doing this year. You're starting a big tour, going to California and everywhere else. And tell us a little bit about where else you've performed in town before we drill down on your back journey.
Okay. Just had some wonderful evenings. It's Bock Tower Gardens.
7C. 7C Music, right?
Yeah. Right. 7C Music is where I'll be playing in St. Pete.
And have you've been here in St. Pete before in Tampa Bay, right?
Yes, yes. And it's a really cool music store. It's a music store / bar, cafe, and venue. And so you can, you know, have a drink and have a snack and try out some guitars and see a show. So they really did a wonderful job for this place.
And you're going to be playing something. So, folks, just to brag a little bit on Muriel, you play a 20-string harp guitar across multiple genres. And, you know, I have seen you perform, and, you know, you have a wonderful sense of humor. You were the first woman to win the National Fingerstyle Guitar Championship, and Guitar Magazine, Player Magazine, no small kudos, says that you're one of the top 50 guitarists. And of course, you recorded with country legend Chet Atkins. So tell us a little bit about what you've been doing. You also have a cookbook, Acoustic Chef, which I love as well, which is a CD with cookbook. So tell us a little bit about your backstory. I know you've been playing since you were 5 years old.
Yes, at least composing since I was five. And I picked up played a little bit on the piano that we had at the house, and picked up the guitar about 6 or 7 years old, I think. And so it's something that's just I've always loved it. It's just always come naturally. And what I've been especially interested in is music from different countries. And so I'm doing something a little different this show, where I'm taking requests from the audience of what country they'd like to visit in the music. And so I'm going to hand out little passports that have all these different countries listed. I sing in up to 10 different languages and do a lot of instrumental compositions, either from those countries or inspired by the music of those countries, like Turkey and Ireland and Tuva near Mongolia. That kind of, you know, all those different styles really intrigue me. And each of those styles, each of those places requires a different technique on the instrument. And the 20-string harp guitar gives me a huge palette of all these different tones and colors that I can use in my music.
I just think this is an incredible opportunity to really experience global folk and traditional, but really done in your own style. And tell me a little bit, you also do some philanthropic work and give back to, I believe it's World Kitchen, and why is the world sort of your oyster and you are the pearl, and what is the importance of painting these pictures for the audience?
Well, I think that right now people need to be, they need optimism in their lives, and that's one thing that I always hold in my music. That's how I met my partner, who does the visuals behind me often on my shows, Brian, because he has optimism in his visual art. And I kind of hold that as a mainstay of my style, really. So it's kind of funny to say optimism as a style, but it really is. It's the source where that music comes from.
I think absolutely. You know, Fred Johnson, who is from here and is an international star, has gone all over the world using music as a way of peacemaking. And even with the Israelis and the Palestinians 20 years ago, there is absolutely nothing more important than a musician who not only plays beautifully, but has a mission and a message. And we love that about you. Tell us a little bit about where you live now, where you grew up, and how where you're living now influences what you're doing.
Thank you. Can I finish up on a little bit of our last question, though?
Yes,
please. You had
too.
Asked about the World Central Kitchen and my charity, which is Music for Life Alliance. So some years ago, I started a charity just to support all these efforts to get musical instruments and lessons to kids. And so I'm still doing that. But I've found that World Central Kitchen is doing something that I feel is even more important than my charity is. They're often the first ones that arrive at any sort of a disaster and work with the local people there, providing hot meals and hope to people immediately when they most need it. So I really applaud what they're doing. So that's why I'm giving a portion of my Acoustic Chef. That's the cookbook with music for each recipe. That's where a lot of this international music came from, is putting together that cookbook. So I give a portion of that to World Central Kitchen.
Both that is just
selling
wonderful.
It online, yeah, both selling it online and at the show. So if you can't make it to the show, you can check it out on my website, MurielAnderson.com.
Absolutely. We know that World Central Kitchen was here in 2 years ago when we suffered from back-to-back hurricanes. And I just think it's an incredible mission that every musician should think about doing something. So I want to go back to where you grew up and where you're living now and how places have influenced your musical genre.
Okay, well, they say musicians never really grow up. We just get older. But it came from the Chicago suburbs. And so I still go back there frequently to visit my parents, who are now 90 and 96. And so it's I really owe them a lot. They've just been so wonderful in so many ways, supporting all of their kids. And,
were they musicians, Muriel?
My mother played piano. Yep. And my father is an engineer. So. And we all played music for fun. So they, they always supported whatever we wanted to do and encouraged us to make our own way. And so that's really, really important. And I try to visit Illinois as often as I can. Living in Nashville, where my main home half the year, and then my partner Brian has a little cottage on the south shore of Long Island where he can see his little sailboat from there. And so that's where we spend the summers, very primitively, in a 1909 summer shack that he keeps like a museum. That was his grandparents. So that's where we live half the year.
That's where I learned to sail. A Sabbath was on the south shore of Long Island.
No kidding.
Oh, right. Cool. Well, I admire that.
Yeah, great. Well, having said that, Brian is on a long sailing trip at the moment. He's in the Bahamas, and after my Florida tour, I'll fly out there and join him just for a week, and then he's got a long sail back in the spring to sail back to the Long Island.
What a wonderful partner to have, and I'm sure there's some wonderful music making on the boat when you're there.
There has been. It's in fact resulted in an entire album. It's called Sailing Dreams, and we even made a board game to go with the album. Of course, you need a board game with an album, right?
Of course you do. You have not only performed with some incredible things. I do love Night Like Daylight. It won so many honors and dozens of awards. Tell us a little bit about collaborating with Earl Klugen and Victor Wooten and all of these, Tierra Negra and all these incredible people, and especially the Nashville Symphony. Fabulous. Tell us about that.
Well, I decided that one point I was going to make an album that had no maximum budget and no maximum time limit. It was just every song would have what it needed. So if it needed a little Tommy Emmanuel energy, I hired Tommy. If it needed Stanley Jordan and Earl Klug jazz improv, I hired them. And the Nashville Symphony Strings, string ensemble for the string parts. So it was just a delight. And I realized in the process that every person that I worked with in this project was not only a great musician, but a great person. And that kind of became part of the project. So it was just a joy from beginning to end to work with these people and create this music. And my main, I guess, reward for doing this is I was looking for an artist who could do the artwork because I wanted to do something very special for the two front covers, essentially. Became an album of music to wake up to and an album of music to go to sleep to. So when you flip it over, it has second front cover. And I hired Brian Allen to do that, and we've been together ever since. That's my partner.
What a love story. That's wonderful. Just in time for Valentine's Day, Muriel. Thank you. Well, you know, even Woody Allen loves your music. So, you know, your recording of El Noir de la Mer appeared in the Woody Allen film, one of my favorites, Vicky Cristina Barcelona, and Heartstrings.
Yes.
Actually went into space with the astronauts on the space shuttle Discovery. How did that feel for you to see your music amplified like this?
Oh, you've done some research, haven't you?
A little bit.
That's great.
I do love your music, so forgive me for being a fan, a fangirl.
Well, it just happened that I was asked to play for the astronauts in Houston for their annual Fajita Fest, and one of the astronauts, Susan Helms, bought my Heartstrings recording and took it up to space with her, and she told me it was good music to watch the Earth by. So I got inspired by that, and it came up with some other compositions for that. And I just keep running into people who work for NASA somewhere on the road, and so it's kind of a continual thing. I keep on talking to people who work for NASA or have worked for them, and I think it's just incredible what they have accomplished with NASA over the years. Yeah.
You know, I love that because, you know, I can see now that your playlist will be on the Fly Me to the Moon shuttle that when we're all transported up and away, right? So, you know, tell me a little bit about, I want to get into the creative process, the composition process. I'm sure you must have a studio in Nashville, but tell us a little bit about how you create, how you compose, what are you eating, drinking, listening to? Do you have things in your space that just paint a little picture for us of your creative process?
Well, I have just been kind of busy on the road and doing other things. I also teach an online class and do some workshops as I travel. And I'll be doing some if you actually on this Florida tour as well. But Phil Keggy, who plays on many of my albums, when I was having a dinner with him and his wife, Bernadette, he said, well, I'll be happy to record on your next album. And I said, you will? And so that next day, I went and I wrote a new tune different from anything I'd ever written before. And the following day, I wrote another one different from anything I'd written before. And I started this new writing streak now, inspired by all different things, and I may play some of the brand new compositions at 7C Music and premiere them. So I'm excited. There's one that I call Hummingbird, which is rather interesting. I hope people like that one.
Well, I do like Hummingbirds, and you know, I just any time that we can hear your acoustic guitar express. You know, I mean, you were, you know, Les Paul said you were just one hell of a great player and a great personality. And
yeah.
I think that it's really lovely because I grew up, you know, with bluegrass and folk, but you're so much more than that. What do you, you know, and you know, I want to point out also on March 14th, you'll be in my hometown, Carlsbad, California, at a very prestigious venue called the Museum of Making Music. Tell us a little bit about that concert and why you're so excited about it.
I've played that quite a number of times, and every bit of technique that I have learned has been in the service of music. It's because I wanted to express something musically or play a certain type of music. So I've ended up learning a bunch of techniques just because I had to express what was inside. So I think that's maybe a little different from some players who just can play scales really, really fast or something. So it's just a little different. I guess an attitude towards the technique. So it's very kind of, you know, the Les Paul and these people to give me these compliments, but I think it's just in service of the music. There's so many people that can play many, many things better than I can, you know? We all have our own strengths, and so I think that we should celebrate each other's strengths.
I love that. What, tell some about some of your guitars that you play on, and you know, I'm a big Gibson fan, which you know is just my yeah. And but I'd love to know a little bit about the instruments that you enjoy playing, and who they're made by.
Well, I have a brand new instrument I just picked up the day before yesterday.
Let's hear about it.
Yes, it's actually my second carbon fiber harp guitar. And so this is impervious to the weather as I'm going on to the Bahamas from here. And it's, then I have it, it's actually has quite a lovely tone to it. It was made in Ireland by the Emerald Guitar Company. And the builder told me that I was the inspiration to make the harp guitar carbon fiber. So it was a real honor that he made these. And then I have attached to it some extra treble strings, so that gives me more strings to play with. And those were built in Switzerland by Lucas Brunner. And those are adding some extra strings. So in addition to the wood harp guitars, which are similar to the ones that were built in America between 1890 and 1920, I have the new carbon fiber ones.
I love that.
However, the first time I was, you know, when I first started playing the harp guitar, I had a steel string one. My current ones are nylon string. And I brought it, Les Paul had invited me to play with him at the Iridium, his regular venue downtown in New York. And I played on a regular guitar, but when I got the harp guitar, I brought that and played it. And Les didn't like the harp guitar. He said, no, you should get a real guitar like a Les Paul.
Surprisingly.
Yes.
Did you?
So, I never did get a Les Paul. No, actually, no, I did. I did get a Les Paul once, and I gave it to a friend of mine. I told him if he would quit smoking, I would give him the Les Paul. And he did and has not started smoking since, so.
Well, I would be inspired to stop any bad habit as well. I also understand you have some steel string guitars from Japan.
Yes, the Morris Moradaira guitar. I have that, and that's one that I used to tour with a steel string and a nylon string all the time. But when I started playing harp guitar, I couldn't really tour with three instruments, so I went to just the nylon string and the harp guitar. And on this tour, I'll just have a nylon string harp guitar so that I'm able to do all the music on that.
Well, you are going to 7C, so I won't be surprised if you walk out with another guitar as well. Folks, if you've just joined me on Music Scene.
Yes. I know it's a terrible thing. I have guitar acquisition syndrome, or worse yet, harp guitar acquisition syndrome.
Don't ever give that up. Muriel, tell us a little bit about what you do for fun when you're not touring, playing, writing, composing, and doing good deeds.
Well, I don't do good deeds as often as I might like to, but I am learning to play the fiddle. And so it's coming along well. I've got it pretty well, except for timing, intonation, and tone.
You're hard on yourself. You're hard on yourself.
I've been known to terrorize bluegrass picking sessions or old-timey picking sessions from time to time on it. And so it's really fun to be a beginner again. And the great thing is I can join any jam session and everyone will be better than me.
How fun is that, right? I doubt it, but
yes,
that's all right.
Really fun, yeah.
So, folks, if you are listening to this, we encourage you to go to 7C Music at 535 22nd Street South, St. Pete. Doors open at 6:30 at February 20th. I suggest you get your tickets in advance because she's quite popular and sells out. She will be also in Fort Lauderdale on the 21st and Fort Myers on the 22nd, headed out to California and other places. Muriel, parting words for young people who are just thinking about pursuing music as a profession, not just as a passion.
Oh, well, you know, I have taken such a backwards route. You know, I've done everything wrong as far as, you know, a career in music, you know, playing styles of music that don't make money, and for one. But the one thing that I've done that's right is I always played the music that was in my heart, regardless. So when people said, no, you've got to decide what type of music you want it to play, you're going to play it. And no, I like some things in jazz, some things in classical, some things in bluegrass. And so I kind of paved my own way. And so I guess two things I might say is, you know, do it with all your heart and have an alternate plan. And just don't put all your eggs in one basket. You know,
it's kind of like journalism, Muriel, right?
yeah.
I want to, folks, before we want to thank Muriel Anderson. We'll have all the links to her website, her newsletter. She's also got some great videos. But we're going to play, thank you, Muriel, A Baker's Dozen. So before we cut to A Baker's Dozen, tell us a little bit about this composition.
Oh, this is one that I wrote after eating a lot of baklava and saganaki and souvlaki at the Greek festival. So I woke up the morning with this melody in my head, and I didn't realize until I tried to write it down that it's in 13/8 time. And so this is just solo harp guitar on 13/8 time, and Danny Gottlieb, a good friend, great drummer, is joining me on the drums behind me. So The Baker's Dozen in 13/8 time.
Thank you, Muriel Anderson. We'll see you at 7C on February 20th. And now, folks, enjoy A Baker's Dozen.